914. Today, a second edition of the GRP, the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gerwick, along with my longtime partner, Frank D. And today we're going to get into some comments that you left for us on our discussion group. We've got some emailed questions. We're going to mix in some current topics as well. And let's say what's up to Frank D.
What's up again, Steve? This is our second run for today, and we got a lot of good stuff here, a lot of plethora of topics from our, you know, our discussion group, a lot of good people out there, and we're going to be reading a lot of your comments today, so stay tuned to that very shortly.
Yeah, definitely. If you missed our interview with Fred Ricciani from the Sports Courier, he brought up a lot of good topics and points. You can check that out in our archives as well. And I also want to plug that we did beautiful Bob Eaton this week.
Right.
You know, Bob Eaton doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Right.
And it was a pleasure talking to a tag team legend. So hopefully fans go to our archive section at Gerwick.net, or Frank D, put that up quickly on our YouTube page.
Exactly. And you guys out there, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like the videos on YouTube, and keep spreading the word about the GRP YouTube channel. We got the Vince Russo interview up there. That's probably the most controversial interview we've done. And it's up there right now for your viewing and listening pleasure on YouTube. We got Teddy Long up there, Brodus Clay, D'Lo Brown, you know, Matt Hardy. We got everybody up there that we've interviewed.
Here RVD.
RVD, yep. We got RVD. And like he just said, one half of the Midnight Express, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. Beautiful Bobby Eaton's up there as well. So go check it out right now, the YouTube channel, at the YouTube GRP channel. And go like and subscribe.
Yeah, I got a lot of great feedback on the RVD interview. People really liked the topics that were discussed, and a lot of the feedback was very positive what RVD was saying. So if you haven't checked out that interview, definitely check it out on our YouTube page or go to Gerwick.net and check out the archives. But today, Frank D., let's get into what the listeners, the readers of our discussion group, we've got a lot of emailed questions, and we've got a lot of topics we're going to discuss that was also discussed on our Facebook group as well. So we'll get into a plethora of topics today. But right up front, Frank, we want to address something that CM Punk, because it kind of, I saw the comment and it didn't really click with me, and then you brought it up today to me when we're talking offline. What exactly did CM Punk tweet?
CM Punk tweeted the other day. He says, "I'm so mad Barry Sanders retired. I bought a ticket to a game to see him once. He owes me at least 6 more concussions and 12 dinners." That's what Punk said. And when it comes off to me, it just seems to me that CM Punk is a attention whore, is what he is. He, you know, nobody's talking about Punk right now. And all of a sudden now, the guy who's been so silent puts out a tweet. I mean, he put out a tweet, I believe, about him and AJ Lee the other day being married. But he put this tweet out, and I guess he's talking about his fans. I guess he's basically telling the fans out there, "Oh, you guys, you know, think that I owe you something when I'm giving my body out there, and nobody cares about my health or whatever. Nobody gives a damn about how I'm feeling. I guess, you know, I have to go back out there and break my body up once again because you bought a ticket to see me, and I owe you something." That's pretty much what I'm getting from that tweet.
Well, he's, of course, I guess he's changed jobs now. Everything I've heard, he's going to write for Marvel Comics?
Oh, well, that's very interesting. But here's the problem with that. I'm a DC guy. I'm a Batman guy. So I don't give a damn if he writes for Marvel or not. As Don Tony said the other day, Don Tony Kevin Castle show said the other day, "What makes CM Punk such an expert at writing?"
That's a good question. I was wondering about that. It's one thing to be a big comic book fan, but what qualifies you to be a writer for that brand?
Exactly.
Or that group?
Exactly.
I don't know. I thought that was strange.
Yeah, I mean, like the Blasey said there. He says, "Hey, Punk is you read a comic book, but how does that make you an expert at writing a comic book?" I have to
because,
totally agree with that.
I mean, Frank, we could be if that was the qualifications, we should be writing for the Whip.
Right. I should be right now running the whole damn thing. If that, you know what I'm saying? If that's what it is. But you know, bottom line is that Punk is trying to stay somewhat relevant when he's not relevant. And I agree with you know, other podcast hosts when they say this, and Punk had the ball. And it kind of reminds me like back in the day when Steve Austin was there and Austin walked out. Austin had that belt for, you know, months after WrestleMania 17. And it was all about him. And they did the alliance and they did all this other stuff. And then when it wasn't about him anymore, he had an issue. Same thing with CM Punk. CM Punk was being pushed down our throats as the WWE champion. I think it was 400 and something, whatever days it was. I forget the number. And, you know, when it wasn't about him anymore, it was about Daniel Bryan. It was about a couple other people. He couldn't take that. He didn't like that. So he got out. It wasn't about him anymore. It was about Batista. And it was about Bryan. And it was about, you know, all these other guys that were in the play, Brock Lesnar. He wasn't important anymore, so he decided, I'm going to take my ball, and I'm going to go home. And I don't have any respect for that. You see, here's the deal. I was never a CM Punk fan to begin with, so I can give a damn what he does. But I do think that you owe your fans somewhat of an explanation as to why you left. You can't come out there and say, send a tweet out like that, saying what you said about Barry Sanders, and referring to yourself, because that's what basically he's doing. He's cryptically referring to himself. You cannot do that when you didn't say anything about you being injured or anything. You didn't say nothing about that. You just up and left after the Royal Rumble. That was it. Haven't heard nothing. You haven't said nothing about anything. You're on The Walking Dead or whatever, and you do these little stupid events you do, but you're not saying anything to your fans about why you're gone. And I will say this. Those CM Punk chants have really quieted down, and I'm glad to hear they're gone.
I was just going to say, after he left, we would get a lot of feedback here on the GRP, people saying, you know, do you think he'll be back for SummerSlam? What was it? It was Superstar Billy Graham would say that he thought he'd be back for SummerSlam. I remember him making those comments. Well, you know, SummerSlam came. He wasn't there. Now, honestly, Frank, I don't hear a lot of speculation about CM Punk. I don't hear people saying, well, do you think CM Punk will be a special participant in the Royal Rumble? Do you think CM Punk might have a match at WrestleMania? I don't hear that comment, and maybe that's what he's feeling, is maybe fans are starting to forget about him a little bit, because let's face it, if you're not on television week after week, a lot of people forget about you. You hear those stories, even RVD, the RVD interview. I was saying to him, we've heard the stories about Christian and Kurt Angle going on airplanes when they're in TNA, and people saying, you know, when are you going to get back into wrestling? You know, if you're not on television and you're not front and center, you know, a lot of people forget about you very quickly.
Yeah, and I like I said, he's an attention grabber. He's an attention whore. Listen, I love the wrestling business. I have a passion for this industry. But CM Punk is not one of the people that I think about. When I think about somebody coming back and making an appearance, the guy at the top of my list right now is Sting. Okay? I don't give a damn what CM Punk does, and I don't give a damn about what he's going through. I can care less. I'm just not a fan. I'm not feeling it. I'm just not. You know, here's a guy that says, well, if The Rock comes back, The Rock takes somebody's spot. Well, you don't realize when The Rock comes back, everybody makes a lot more money.
And then, you know, last night, Frank, I've been watching the network a little bit. I'm in my free trial, my 30 days free that I can watch the network and get caught up on a lot of shows. And that's really what I've done. I've gotten caught up on the Monday Night War series, which I do enjoy, although last night was about the Divas. And it's starting to feel like the show is getting a little watered down. It's like they've covered all the relevant topics. You've covered DX. You've covered NWO. You've covered Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, Jericho, the Cruiserweights, ECW influence. And now, you know, where do you go from here? I mean, they covered Goldberg. And now, you know, last night was the Divas. And no disrespect to the Divas, because they certainly had a role in pushing the envelope back in the Attitude Era. But I'm starting to feel, Frank, and I don't know how many episodes are left in this series, it's starting to get a little watered down. And maybe it was better they stick with the, you know, the 7-8 main topics, you know, DX, NWO, Steve Austin, The Rock, Mr. McMahon, Bret Hart, etc. And I don't know, I'm just starting to feel like the series is getting a little watered down in terms of the content they're delivering to us right now.
Yeah, you hit it right there on the nail, on the head right there, Steve. It's I mean, when you think about the Monday Night War, only a certain things come to mind. You think about NWO, when you think about Nitro, you think about NWO, you think about DX, you think about Austin McMahon, you think about The Rock, you think about Goldberg. That's pretty much it. And the Cruiserweights. That's it. You don't think about anything else when it comes to that situation. But I will say this, that I think that they have room for improvement as far as where they go from here, as far as telling other stories. I mean, they could do a whole show built around mid-carders, the mid-card talent. Let's go back to the WWF during the Attitude Era when you had, you know, the Godfather, you had Val Venus, you had Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. You go tell those stories of those guys. You can look at WCW, who at the time had Eddie Guerrero. You had Malenko, Benoit, Saturn. You had Douglas. You had Candido. You can tell stories about the mid-carders at this point now, too. But it's getting to the point now where it's kind of like I'm thinking maybe they should have just done one big documentary, and that was it, and not spice it up into different episodes.
I mean, last night was a lot about Sonny. And, yeah, she played a role on the most downloaded diva. But, I mean, when I think of Monday Night Wars, as you said, I really don't think about Sonny. I don't think about the Nitro Girls. I don't think about Medusa. I don't think about Tori Wilson. I don't think about Stacey Keibler. I mean, she was brought up last night as well. I mean, no disrespect to these girls. I mean, they brought up Stephanie because, you know, Vince McMahon got his daughter in the process as well, and they pushed the envelope with her as well. Lita. Trish, they certainly played a role in the Monday Night Wars. In fact, they brought up, I believe it was the only time they've ever been a main event on Raw was when Lita and Trish wrestled for the Divas Championship. But in general, just, you know, I'm thinking about the Monday Night Wars, and no disrespect to the girls, I just don't think divas.
I can't watch it. I can't get into it. I really can't. It's like, yeah, no disrespect to the women. We all love women, but.
Yeah,
I just can't get into it because when I think about who was a big ratings winner there, what was actually drawing? Okay, I don't think about segments with Sable. Okay, I don't think about segments with that crackhead Sonny. It doesn't do anything for me. When I think about what I was watching that on Raw at the time, I think of NW or I think of The Rock. I think of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think of Owen Hart. You know, I think of DX. I wasn't a fan of DX, but they were on there. Undertaker, the Ministry of Darkness. When I think of Nitro, I think of, obviously, NWO, Goldberg, you know, Benoit, Guerrero, those guys. I don't think about the Nitro girls. I mean, they played a role, but they didn't play that big of a role.
Only on for a few segments and a few seconds. And the one thing that was kind of interesting, they did bring up China. Obviously, she played a significant role with DX. And they brought up that she was the first woman to win the IC championship. And I don't remember who – somebody was interviewed said, no, that'll probably never happen again, which is true. And so I felt like they were giving her a little bit of a rub last night, Frank, but I don't ever see her put her in the Hall of Fame. So
it was good.
Like, you know, they pat her on the back last night, but, you know, Stephanie's never going to give her due.
No, she's not. I mean – China is still pissed about what happened years and years ago, and she has right to. But here's the thing about this. Joni Lauer needs to realize Triple H made a business decision. Triple H, where I have always heard the rumors, was a very jealous person, very jealous of a lot of different guys like The Rock, like Jericho, like Austin. He always wanted to be there. He never quite got there, in my opinion. He never got to the level of The Rock and Steve Austin. So what's the better way to do it? Well, you know what? Let's play the role of I'm going to sleep with the boss's daughter. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to have some chance by her, and I'm going to run this place. He did what any man out there would do. I would do it. Because I'm looking at the longevity of my career at this point. That's all he was. So Stephanie would never give him just due because when Stephanie talks about how her and Triple H got together, she never mentions the fact that he was already with China. She never mentions the fact that they were secretly sleeping together and then China found out about it. They don't bring up that part. They always tell this fairy tale story, and that's complete BS. So, yeah, like you said, man, they're never going to give China her due. Is China Hall of Fame material? You're damn right she is. Because she's the first woman to be in the Royal Rumble. She's the first woman to hold the Intercontinental Championship. That's a big accomplishment. Those are big accomplishments. And maybe one day you know, they'll put her in there, but right now it just ain't going to happen. This is one of those things like, you know, with Randy Savage. What would ever happen? I think Randy Savage has a better chance of getting in than she does.
Because of the politics, she's never going to get in that Hall of Fame. And I can't remember who it was. It was somebody interviewed for that segment and saying she was the first woman to win that IC championship. And Frank, he said, it'll probably never happen again. And that is an accomplishment. Whether or not you're a big China fan or not, as you were putting over accolades, and I agree. I'm not trying to sound like a big China mark, but yeah, she played a prominent role in DX. She was all those skits. She was front and center. She, as you said, was the first woman to participate in the Royal Rumble, won the IC strap. So yeah, I would put her in the Hall of Fame, but you know, not gonna happen. She's a porn star. Stephanie doesn't like her. Triple H has turned his back on her because he's with Steph, so never going to happen, which is unfortunate.
And that's the only reason why he turned his back on her. That's the only reason why. Because of his relationship with Stephanie. That's why. And at the end of the day, you know what? He was wrong on that one.
You mentioned Randy Savage, and I want to bring up Randy Savage as well here because I don't know why we put so much emphasis on the WWE Hall of Fame. I guess it's the most visible Hall of Fame, right?
Right.
I've got a Hall of Fame, but yeah, I'm not saying my Hall of Fame is the end all. Wrestling Observer has a Hall of Fame. We had a WCW Hall of Fame at one time, TNA Hall of Fame, which of course don't mean anything, but it's all about, we always come back, it's about the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And at the end of the day, what is the WWE Hall of Fame? What is it? Is it a physical Hall of Fame? Is it a panel where people vote on your credentials? Do the fans vote? What stands out? What makes you a WWE Hall of Famer? And it's all about your relationship with Vince. Because I saw comments by Lanny Poffo. And I remember one of the comments that he said in his most recent interview is, for the wrestling fans out there, the fans of Randy Savage, he said, quote unquote, don't hold your breath about the Hall of Fame because it may not happen. I know you were talking about 2015, and now we got this new disc out, this new Randy Savage collection, which sounds really good. And I guess you were telling me that they actually addressed the Stephanie McMahon rumor, which is like out of left field. That really surprised me. But I, you know, until I see it, Frank, I'm not going to believe it. And then on the other hand, it's like, you know, what is the Hall of Fame? Who cares about their Hall of Fame? Vince McMahon sits down with his buddies and said, hey, should we put this guy in? Should we put this guy in? Well, let's not put him in. He's dead. Let's not put him in because he jumped ship on me. Let's not put him in because I didn't like his dad. Oh, I didn't like his girlfriend. I didn't like his wife. I mean, really, that's the credentials? Is I had a wrestling career. Randy Savage is the most qualified guy that's out there.
Overqualified.
One of the most biggest, hugest stars they ever had in that company, and they're sitting around. Well, I'm here. It is 2014, end of the 2004. He's not in the Hall of Fame, and we're seeing all. I'm not going to go through the list of guys who's. You know, we've already discussed the guys in the Hall of Fame before Randy Savage, but I mean Frank, who really cares about the Hall of Fame? And I know we did a whole podcast on it. Should this guy be in? Should this guy be in? I mean, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, Vince McMahon and his cronies will sit down and say, do you want Randy Savage in the Hall of Fame? No? Okay, me either. He's out. Do you want Bruno Sammartino in the Hall of Fame? Well, he's been a prick all these years. Let's put him in this year. Okay. So Triple H gets on the phone and calls Bruno Sammartino. But at the end of the day, what is the Hall of Fame? Who really cares? I'm getting to the point, Frank, where you know, I'm sitting here thinking, what do I care about the WWE? They cater to 13-year-olds. Why should somebody like me, 40-plus, care about the damn WWE? Oh, because I cover it, because it's the website, because we do the GRP, right? That's the only reason I even give two craps about the WWE anymore. And at the end of the day, why should I care about the WWE Hall of Fame? What is it to me? It's a glorified extra hour of the WrestleMania weekend, and which is great for the guys that get it. And they should definitely honor the guys that are in the Hall of Fame. They should get their dinner. They should get their plaque. They should get a pat on the back. They should get a ring. I mean, Vince, Vince owes that to a lot of these talents, but at the end of the day, who cares about the WWE Hall of Fame? I like my Hall of Fame a lot better because the fans vote. I have a 70% threshold for my Hall of Fame. Some guys have gotten in the Hall of Fame that I totally agree with. Some guys have not. Some guys have not gotten the Hall of Fame. Some guys have not, or women have not gotten the Hall of Fame that I don't agree with as well. But at the end of the day, Frank, 70% is my threshold. I count the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame more relevant than WWE Hall of Fame, and yet everything goes back. What's going on with Randy Savage? One of the questions we got this week, what do you think is the real reason Randy Savage is not in the Hall of Fame? You know what, Frank? I don't really care anymore, because at the end of the day, who cares about the Hall of Fame? It's criminal that he's not in their Hall of Fame. So why should I, Steve Gerwick, Frank D., the GRP, why should we give two craps about the WWE Hall of Fame?
You know, very, very well said rant there, and I have to agree with you on that. I'm getting to the point now that if it doesn't happen next year, I don't give a damn anymore about
it. Who cares?
Because, like you said there, I know in my heart, in my viewing all these years of being a fan of sports entertainment, I know what Randy Savage did. I know everything that Randy Savage did for the sport of wrestling. You know it. I know it. Everybody out there that knows, oh, yeah, everybody, we all know what Savage did. So it doesn't matter. I mean, the Hall of Fame is a joke anyways, like you just said there. I mean, what did Orndorff say, a $35 plaque he left in a hotel room or whatever. And it's great that some guys, like you said, get that accomplishment. That's phenomenal. That's great. But like you said, it's just a bunch of Vince McMahon and that, you know, buck-tooth Kevin Dunn sitting around talking about who's going to go in and who's not going to go in. Like you said, it's all politics. And I'm going to shoot on this one right quick because this is the bottom line, okay? If the story has it, there's three deals here as to why Savage might not be in the Hall of Fame. Three reasons why. And we can address them real quick. First one is there was a battle royal that was held years ago in the WWF. And Randy's father, Angelo, who you know, Steve, used to be a grappler in his day, right, wanted to be in this battle royal. And they said no. So that pissed off Randy. Lanny has told this story several times about how Randy hated him for that. And I guess he had some backstage issues as well with Pat Patterson and Chief J. Strongbow. I guess they were the ones who made, you know, was making a call to keep, you know, Angelo out of that battle royal. So Randy had a beef there. The other thing that comes up is that, you know what, Randy, this whole situation there with Randy and Stephanie McMahon. And the only thing I'm going to say is this. If Randy had a relationship with Stephanie, I look at the track record of Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon, if she did have a relationship with Randy Savage, and I don't know if she did or not, look at her track record. She went with Randy Savage, then she went with Triple H. So is it so much that Randy Savage is the blame here, or is it much more that Stephanie McMahon is a whore? Is that what it is? Because she's the one who's going out being promiscuous, having relations with different wrestlers. So, I mean, I would have to assume that's what it is. And maybe Vince McMahon didn't know about this ahead of time, but he found out later, oh, well, Savage, you know, had a relationship with Stephanie or whatever. I don't know what it is. You know, we don't know. And it was a third one, but I can't even think of it right now because I'm so into this whole Stephanie thing because I understand on the DVD they acknowledge this as a possibility of the heat between the two.
I think we did the math on this because I remember me and you were just sitting down. Okay, what was the time period that we're talking about? And we did the math. And if he did have a relationship with Stephanie, she would have been 18,
right?
If not older. So, you know, your 18-year-old can make decisions for herself. If she's under 18, she's under 17, she's considered a minor. I mean, that's a whole different ball game. But we were doing the math, and if Stephanie's 18 or 19 years old, yeah, I can see Vince saying, I don't want my 19-year-old, 18-year-old dating the Macho Man. But, I mean, that's her call at that point.
Right.
You know, Vince can object, but, I mean, the daughter can do what she wants. I mean, she's 18 now. I mean, you go to college, you vote, and if she wants to date Randy Savage, then that's her call. If you want daddy looking down your neck because you're dating Randy Savage, I mean, that's your whole ball game. But I'm just so sick and tired. And no disrespect to our caller, I should say, no disrespect to our readers, our listeners, Frank, but I'm tired of, should this person be in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
Should this person be in the Hall of Fame? Why isn't this person in the Hall of Fame? Why is this person in the Hall of Fame and this person not? It's the frickin' WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Where Vince McMahon and his cronies sit down and decide, do we want this guy in or this guy or this guy or this guy? Does this girl get in or does not? Trish Stratus, we like Trish Stratus. Put her in the Hall of Fame. No disrespect to Trish. But this is the selection process. So why are we talking about, I mean, as you said, Frank, Randy Savage. Does it make any difference if Randy Savage is in the Hall of Fame, really? Are we going to put Randy Savage on a higher pedestal because he's now a Hall of Famer? Absolutely not. You know Randy Savage was one of the all-time greats. I grew up watching Randy Savage, as you did. WWF champion, WCW champion. All the great angles, WrestleManias, the great match with Steamboat, Ric Flair storyline with Liz. We know what Randy Savage did. We know Randy Savage is a Hall of Famer. He's in my Hall of Fame, okay? I'm not trying to tout my Hall of Fame, but he's in our Hall of Fame. I'm sure he's in the Observer Hall of Fame. The ones that relevant, that wrestling historians vote on, the wrestling critics, the fans, he's in their Hall of Fames. And he's not in the WWE Hall of Fame. And you know what? Fine. Don't put him in the Hall of Fame. But I'm sick and tired of people saying, why isn't Randy Savage in the Hall of Fame? I don't know, and I don't really care anymore.
You know,
I don't care if CM Punk is in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if you pick a name. I don't care.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference to me because at the end of the day, it's some 70-year-old guy in his office saying, hey, should I put this guy in? That's what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And honestly, I think what it is with Randy Savage fans out there is they want WWE to acknowledge the greatness of the Macho Man. And that's what it's about here. It's about not so much him going to the Hall of Fame, but it's an acknowledgement of the Macho Madness that happened in the world of wrestling. That's what it is. I mean, you have Ric Flair, that racist piece of crap. You have him in the Hall of Fame twice. He was inducted, right? So,
yep.
Why not have, ooh, yeah, Randy Savage in there? That's what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. Just a simple acknowledgement of the guy's career. And that's what it is. And the third thing that I was going to say earlier, I forgot about it. The first one was about the Battle Royal. Second one was about the possibility of a relationship with Seth McMahon. The third one was is that Landing has said that Randy had an issue with WWE inducting the entire Von Erich family to the Hall of Fame. He says if they can induct the Von Erich family, the whole family, then they can induct the whole Poffel family. And if they don't do that, they might as well not put me in.
And then you can induct the whole Guerrero family and the whole Hart family.
Right.
Valentine family, because I agree with that assessment. I wouldn't put a whole family in the Hall of Fame. That kind of pees upon the people in the family that really deserves it.
Right.
Like Kerry Von Erich. Kerry Von Erich is a Hall of Famer. But some of his other brothers are not Hall of Famers.
No.
So I understand that argument. Out there, if you're listening, if you're on our Facebook group, if you email us, you're on our Twitter at Gerwick Report. Please don't ask me, why is this guy in the Hall of Fame? Why is this guy not? Does this guy belong in the Hall of Fame? Does this guy not? Their careers stand for themselves. They can stand on their merits. Certainly you know Randy Savage belongs in the Hall of Fame, period. Okay? Chris Benoit belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. Why? We know the story. So why do we even need to discuss this anymore?
Right.
As I said, at the end of the day, it's some 70-year-old guy sitting down and deciding who he wants in and who he doesn't want in. And he can do it, Frank. It's his company. He owns the whip. He can have boring, generic PG crap on TV every week. You can have your stupid Hall of Fame. You can have your Survivor Series, which was one time a very prestigious pay-per-view on network for free. Do whatever you want. But, I mean, he's got to look in the mirror at some point with Randy Savage. And, you know, I don't think he's going to get in 2015. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I have no inside information. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame? Of course he belongs in the Hall of Fame. He should have been in years and years ago. But, you know, I'm just to the point, Frank, where I don't care anymore. I really don't. If he gets in, great. I'm going to have that mark out moment when I watch the ceremony, as I did when Jake the Snake got in the Hall of Fame, when the Ultimate Warrior got in the Hall of Fame. I did mark out. Even Scott Hall, even I had the issues with Scott Hall this year. Certainly I marked out because I always was a Scott Hall fan. You know, hey, yo, AWA days, WWF, WCW. And if Randy ever gets that honor, I will mark out. If Lanny's up there, whoever's up there, giving the speech for his brother or for Randy, I will mark out. But I'm to the point where I just don't care anymore.
So I agree.
So, I mean, you know, we get questions about Randy Savage all the time.
Yeah, we do.
We don't know. The short answer is it's some older guy with a dimple on his chin that sits in a Stanford office that decides he doesn't want him in. And if he doesn't decide he wants him in, what can we do? I mean, I'm seeing this drive right now, Frank. We've seen what David Hasselhoff and Mick Foley and Jake the Snake say, put the British Bulldog in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Do I think that's going to precipitate him getting the Hall of Fame? It still comes down to Vince. You know? Does Vince want to put in a dead guy? That's what it comes down to. Well, I don't want this guy because he's a dead wrestler. Well, Curt Hennig, who certainly had his substance abuse issues. You don't think that brings a little bit of light to, oh, what happened to Curt? What happened to Curt Hennig?
Yeah.
Oh, he overdosed, right? Oh, huh. But hey, does British Bulldog belong in the WWF Hall of Fame? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duh. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And all these people that get upset, this guy's in, this guy's in, this guy's not in. It's Vince McMahon, people. The reason you get a boring Raw and a boring SmackDown, Vince McMahon. I know Triple H is getting more power and Stephanie's getting more power. End of the day, it's Vince McMahon. Let's face it. He's still in charge. He still runs the company. He's still the chairman. He makes a lot of the decisions. He doesn't make all the decisions like he used to. But when it comes down to important decisions like television, direction, things like that, Hall of Fame, where WrestleMania is going to be, it's Vince McMahon. So if you want to get mad, get mad at the boss.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. So that was a long way of answering the Randy Savage situation. But, you know, I just don't want any more questions about the Hall of Fame because I really don't care anymore. They can put in whoever they want. They will.
Yep.
Yeah. They don't care what you think. Do you think they really care if David Hasselhoff does a video? Do you think they really care if Mick Foley does a video or Jake the Snake does a video and say, put this guy in the Hall of Fame? You think that's going to persuade Vince? I think you're delusional if you do.
Right.
Vince, at the end of the day, decides who's in and who's out. I'm tired about credentials. I mean, we did a whole podcast on, should this guy get in? Should this guy not get in? Does it matter? Because at the end of the day, Vince decides.
Right.
So, oh well. But you know, Frank, after all that rant and all that tirade I went on here, we actually, you've been putting out some very interesting questions and topics on our discussion group at Facebook, which you can check out. Go to Gerwick Report Podcast, the discussion group. We've got a lot of threads on there and some really interesting topics. And we want to address a couple of these because, you know, we put it out there and a lot of great comments we got on there. Tag teams, Frank. Your favorite tag teams, past and present, and I've seen a bunch of them. And, I made my list, too.
Right.
Demolition, Tully and Arn, Hart Foundation, Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, etc. But, man, people really responded to that question.
Right, they did. And I'm going to read some of the what some of the people said here right now. Let's see, Darren Humberg, he put in the Briscoe Brothers, Jay Youngblood, and Ricky Steamboat. That's what he put. We had Craig Lawrence. He put the Hart Foundation, British Bulldog, Usos, Midnight Express, and Bad Company. Darren Humbert also wrote back and put in the Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, any version of the Russians, Koloff and Khrushchev. You put the Freebirds and the Fantastics.
Yep, I mentioned the Freebirds on my list as well.
Right. My boy out there, Wayne May, put in the Hart Foundation, the Rockers, Brainbusters, Demolition, Edge and Christian. So very interesting. Cassidy Ashe, who did a very good rant there on CM Punk on the discussion page. I enjoyed that. I actually gave her a like on that one. She put in Owen and the Bulldog. She put in Edge and Christian, the Rockers, the Hardy Boys, LOD, and the Hart Foundation. We also had Keith Colwell. Put in the Road Warriors, Brainbusters, the Signers, the Freebirds, Hanson, and Bruiser Brody. Ryan Doyle put in Black Gordman and the Great Goliath. I think Dominic Valencia would appreciate that one. Or on the rest
yeah,
of
definitely.
The
yep.
Efren Guzman, another one of my peeps out there on Facebook. He put in the Briscoe Brothers and the Signers. And myself, of course. I put in the Hart Foundation, Demolition, Steiner Brothers, the Rockers, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, Doom, the Outsiders, Harlem Heat, New Age Outlaws, East West Connection. Some of the few that I liked. You, Webmaster, you put in the Midnight Express, LOD, Hart Foundation, British Bulldogs, Harlem Heat, Rock and Roll Express, Brainbusters, Freebirds, Fantastics, Edge and Christian, Hardy Boys, and the Dudleys.
And later I added Demolition.
Right. Later you added Demolition.
I forgot about you. You gotta forget about somebody.
Right.
Jason, a list like that.
Jason Arrow, he put in the Awesome Cons. Brent Royce Stafford put in Brainbusters, Briscoes, British Bulldogs. Those were his tops. He also put in Arn Anderson and Bobby. Remember they were a tag team in the Dangerous Alliance?
Right. Yep.
That's
you know, one that didn't get mentioned as much was the Funk Brothers. The Funk Brothers were a great tag team. Yeah, Briscoe's got a little bit of love, but Briscoe's was kind of before my time.
Right.
But I do remember the Funk Brothers kind of at the end of their run. They were tremendous as well.
Right. Judas Draven put in the Legion of Doom. He put in Doom. He put in the Samoan SWAT team, Hart Foundation, the Four Horsemen, Strike Force, Natural Disasters, Nikita and Ivan Koloff, the Midnight Express, and the Rock and Roll Express. So that's very, very interesting here. We got a couple more that people put in. Jake Haynes put in Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Olin Arn.
Right.
Yep. Olin Arn Anderson. Yep.
Craig Lawrence also put in Billy and Chuck and 3 Minute Warning. He would have put Billy and Chuck at 3:40.
Well, you know, some people like comedy.
Right. He also put in the Hardys, the Dummies, and this tag team from the original NWA TNA days, America's Most Wanted, James Storm and Chris Harris.
Very good team.
Very, very good team. Dante Hicks put in the Blade Runners. There
Sting
you go.
And the Ultimate
Sting
Warrior.
And the Ultimate Warrior. There you go. Two world champions. Jerry Daniel put in the Bulldog and Owen Hart.
Very underrated tag. I mean, when we talk about tag teams, I think they're very underrated. I don't think they get the love they deserve.
I don't think they do either. What's this guy? I'm sorry if I butcher your name, dude. Fawaz Aldoa. He put in the Eliminators, Steiner Brothers, Legion of Doom, and the Young Bucks.
Eliminators is a very good underrated ECW tag team.
Yeah. Nicole and Jimmy Sullivan, they put in LOD and the Rockers.
Good choices, yep,
yeah. Very
definitely.
Good choices. So we got a lot of people out there that chimed in with this thread here. Somebody actually made a comment here. See, check this one out. Ryan Doyle wrote here, I kind of have to chuckle a bit at Brendan's comment about tag teams of 99 and 2000. Because he, you know, he's obviously a fan of the tag teams of the 70s and the 80s. So that's very good because, you know, people think that tag team wrestling really exploded when it was Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardys. Well, people need to go back a little bit further than that and look back when the Survivor Series was really hot. You had Powers of the Pain out there. You had Devilish. You had, you know, everybody. So I have to agree.
You know, when they were saying the Briscoes, are they referring to the current Briscoes of ROH or the old Briscoe brothers, Jack and Gerald?
That's a good question because I have no idea. I just said Briscoes, but I don't know. So that's pretty good. Maybe they can elaborate there in the discussion group on which Briscoes you meant.
Yeah, I got to think today's fans would know the Briscoe brothers of ROH more than the Briscoe brothers of the 70s.
Right.
For example, you know, a couple of teams. You were going through these lists of names, and yeah, definitely the Eliminators of Cronus and Perry Saturn, you know, tremendous tag team. I was also thinking with today's wrestling, and today's wrestling doesn't get as much love when you're talking about all-time greatest tag teams because tag teams don't usually stick together for very long. But today, you know, certainly the Young Bucks should get a lot of love, and also I don't know if anybody even mentioned this on the list was. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
Right.
Bad Influence, and now they're known as The Addiction.
Right.
Another tremendous tag team.
Yeah, they didn't make the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just a couple other thoughts I had going down. But you guys mentioned a lot of great tag teams. Sometimes I get asked this, you know, what is your all-time favorite tag team? It's hard to pick one. But one I really, really always, when I think of tag team, always comes to my mind was Tully and Art. I don't know. They were great as the Horsemen. They were great as the Brainbusters. They always have a special place in my heart. They're my favorite. It's hard to pick one, but if you put a gun to my head today, I'd probably tell you Tully and Arn.
Right. We also had another thread there in our discussion group on there. Like Steve said earlier, you can join our discussion group at facebook.com/GirlReportPodcast out there. Just, you know, look it up. You'll find us. It's a closed group, but we also, you know, we always accept new members, and we're about almost damn near 2,000 members, Steve. So it's very impressive. This thread here was worst wrestling factions of all time.
Oh, boy.
And my God, we got a lot of people chimed in with this one, and we're going to start it off, and I'm going to read a few of these here. Rob Bissell, he put in the NWO once everybody and their mother was a member. So,
definitely the watered down factions of the NWO were pretty bad.
Yeah. Of course, myself, Frank D here, I put in Dungeon of Doom. I put in the Job Squad. Okay. I put in Natural Born Thrillers. I put in the B Team NWO. I put in NWO Hollywood, NWO 2000, the LWO, and I also put the Union. So,
and the one that I thought of, I don't think I responded to this list, but the one I thought of when I was. Thinking about the question, what was the Oddities?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of bad, too.
Yeah, they
very good.
Yeah, they made the list. But let's see here. Matthew Butler, he put that he didn't like the Network faction. I guess this was in ECW. You remember the Network with Cyrus the Virus?
Right, yeah.
So he didn't like that. He didn't like Immortal or SCX and TNA. And, that was the Vince Russo creation there, Sports Entertainment Extreme, which I actually like that group. Oliver John Gardner put in the Truth Commission. And I can't say what he actually put there after that, but I'll just say there, he said, what the bleep was that bleep about? I was simply like that. Let's see here. What else we got here? Rob Bissell also checked back in. He said the Millionaires Club sucked. That's what he said. Matthew Butler said Aces and Eights. Rob Bissell said Main Event Mafia. Kevin Cry said Three Count.
I was just going to say Three Count.
Yeah.
That came to mind too as one of the worst factions.
I put in the Alliance, if everybody remember that from the Invasion angle.
Yep.
Jackie Wilkes put in the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, they weren't one of my favorites either.
Right. Kevin Grind, Oddities. He says, wow, what a waste. Matthew Butler also checked back in. Team Canada from WCW. I put in Team Dixie from TNA. I also put in the Authority.
Aces and Eights. What a disappointment that was.
Right. Oliver John Gardner checked in once again. Remember this group, the Mexicools.
Mexicools, yeah.
Yeah, you put that in there.
That's right.
Matthew Butler also checked in. Vince in the two-man power trip. Remember that? Austin and Triple H together as a tag team. We got Ion Chilaki. He put in World Elite in TNA. The Disciples of Apocalypse. Remember that biker game back in the WWF
yes.
days? He also put in the West Texas Rednecks, you know, their I Hate Rap. Wayne May put in the core. I, Frank D, put in the core. I also put in the CM Punk led Nexus. And Craig Lawrence says, who remembers the X Factor? He also, Ian also put in JBL in his cabinet.
How about Team Authority?
Talking about the WWE, right?
Yeah, I said a little while ago.
How about this one? I also put this one. This one was mine. I put it in 2004. Anybody remember? Not the tag team from Ring of Honor, but anybody remember that horrible stable they had in TNA called the Kings of Wrestling with Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Jeff Jarrett?
Oh yeah.
I put that. I also put in the band from 2010. Efren checked in. He put the Union.
Union, that's right. Vince McMahon and his group, right?
Right. Ira Knobler put in the Oddities, he put in the Legacy, and he put in the No Limit Soldiers from WCW.
Oh, yeah.
I also checked in with the Dark Carnival. Darren Humber checked in with Men on a Mission. So we had a lot of interesting things out there that people come up with in the discussion group. It's just phenomenal. That's just like a lot of memories, just, you know, a lot of people thinking about different things to talk about. It's great having the group, and it's great to have this interaction that we have with the listeners out there, and also the readers of Gorg.net. It's fantastic at this point. I've really enjoyed it.
When you put the worst on there, it's like wrestle crap.
Right.
Kind of the worst of wrestling. And a lot of it is the modern era.
Right. And we're gonna talk about the modern era right now too, see, because here is the question of all questions right now. I asked this question a couple days ago and it had a very, very good response. We're gonna read some of the comments here as well. It was most overrated wrestlers of all time.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
and we're gonna start off with this one here. Let me load the comments here. Bear with me, people. We're gonna start off with this one. And right off the top, Frank D says, Buff Bagwell.
Overrated.
I'd also have to say Lex Luger.
I'd have to agree with that.
Darren Humbert checked in once again. You know, this guy is all over our discussion group, and you know, private messages me all the time, wants to talk wrestling, which is cool. He put in Tommy and the Giant Gonzalez. Also here is somebody, Roy Lucier, put Goldberg and Diamond Dallas Page.
Would Kali be considered overrated? I mean, does Kali really have fans?
Kali is very big in India.
Yeah, I'm in India, but we're talking here.
He's very big in India.
Yeah, I mean, here in the United States, people say, "Oh, I'm a big Kali fan."
Right.
I don't know. He is obviously one of the worst world champions. I will give you that.
Yeah, I put in Sid Vicious.
Psycho Sid.
Yeah, never wasn't a really big fan of his work in WCW towards the end. There, it was horrible. Scotty Wilkerson put in this one. And this one is going to be a shocker because this guy gets such a critical acclaim. He put Lance Storm.
Overrated?
He said Lance Storm. He says Scotty Wilkerson said, I will say one guy the IWC overrates is Lance Storm. He says I was never thought much of his work.
Well, he's never good at facials or promos, but wrestling ability, he was really good, I thought. I love the tag team with Justin Credible, Impact Players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darren Humber put in Mick Foley.
You know, never been a big Mick Foley fan. I don't know if I would say he's overrated. Maybe it's just my personal feeling on him. I was never a huge Mick Foley. I have a lot of respect for Mick.
Well,
ton of respect for him, what he's done for the business and what he's given his body and his soul to the business, but I was never a big Mick Foley fan.
Well, you know, here's what Darren said to support why he puts Mick Foley. He said Mick Foley's work was very limited in the ring. He said he's only known for insane bumps and deathmatch crap.
Well, that's true.
That's what he said there.
I'd have to agree with that.
My man Andrew Davis out there in Bakersfield, see, not too far from Frank D. He put Kevin Nash.
Big Lazy.
Hey, now, I'm a big Nash fan. Nash might have been lazy, but Nash was lazy, but Nash made it worse. Very smart businessman. Nash knew that you didn't have to go out there and put it all on the line. You go out there and do what he did and still get paid. And at the end of the day, it's all about getting paid.
You know, I don't think anybody's going to accuse Kevin Nash of being a great wrestler.
Nash was phenomenal in the ring.
Okay.
Nash is phenomenal in the ring. I mean, this guy had some good matches with Bret Hart back in the day.
Who doesn't have good matches with Bret Hart? Goldberg.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean.
Well, I'm
not a great worker at all.
I'm being partial. I'm being partial.
I know you're a big Kevin Nash person.
Yeah, I'm a Nash guy.
As far as his in ring ability, very limited.
You know, Nash. Like I said, Nash got away with it though. He had that cool factor. Nash was cool. Nash is the type of guy that I would love to kick it with.
Very cool. Great promo guy. Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Very cool. Another one here. Somebody put in Ahmed Johnson.
Hard to argue that one.
Right. Jarrett LaPoma put in Scott Steiner.
Overrated. Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nicole and Jimmy Sullivan. They put in John Cena.
I'd have to agree with that one.
I put in Val Venus.
Overrated. Would Val Venus be considered overrated? I don't know. Did he ever really get much of a rub? I don't know.
He did in the early days of the answer there, that hello league thing.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And then
he got
exposed.
But I like Sean Morley a lot because he's a libertarian and he's fighting the real New World Order. So I give him love for that one.
All right. Who else we got here? Read the comments here.
You know what his handle is on Twitter?
What's that?
Captain Cannabis.
That says it all.
Okay, I won't touch that one.
Travis A. Bain checked in. He said, hands down, and I have to agree with this one 100%, Chris Jericho.
Overrated.
Oh, yeah.
I like Chris Jericho.
Here's his reason for supporting this.
Okay.
Jericho, good worker, but not great. He telegraphs everything in the ring. Mic work is overrated, and his comedy is awful and incredibly lame. His returns never live up to the hype. Two things guarantee crowd reaction. Pyro and lights out, Jericho gets both. Not half the star he thinks he is, or WWE says he is. Mediocre at best. I am totally in agreement with that. I'm not a Jericho fan.
I will say his recent work has not been the best, but you got to give him credit. He's come back and putting guys over in the ring. You got to give him some credit for that.
Well,
I mean,
you know what? I got to go out there with my man from another podcast, Don Tony Kevin Castle Show, and I quote, "Hey, the next time Jericho makes a return, tell him not to forget his chest at home." If anybody gets that one.
I don't know. Go back and watch his ECW stuff, watch his WCW stuff, watch his big debut. I mean, I agree. In recent years, he's not been anything special. Who has been anything special the last few years?
The only thing special about Jericho that I liked was that damn light-up jacket. I'd wear that to a Universal City Walk in a heartbeat. But that's pretty much it.
His Ralphus stuff was really good. I don't know.
I liked him in WCW until I found out how much of a prick he was.
I don't know about his backstage, but as far as in-ring work and promo ability, I always liked the guy.
Yeah, well,
it's just, I guess it's just personal opinion, you know?
Right. Craig Lawrence checked in, and he put Edge overrated.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
He says, I know it's probably stupid to say, but for some reason, I never liked Edge. When they put him with Vicky Guerrero, that made it even worse.
Well, anybody with Vicky Guerrero is not going to help you.
Right.
Not his fault.
James Kavanaugh put in these two names. And this is going to be a shocker to some people. Not really a shocker to me because I kind of agree with the in-ring work. The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin is overrated.
Right.
Hmm. I can't say I agree with either one of those.
I don't think The Rock was ever that good of a worker in the ring. He just had that, but he had that pizzazz. I mean, who else in the wrestling business would you ever know that could take something as simple as an elbow and make it something special? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Sandy Madley put Hulk Hogan.
Well, it's hard to argue that one.
Craig Lawrence also checked back in with Brock Lesnar, the current unseen WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
He gets a lot of heat because he's only part-time.
Right.
But, I mean, but as a worker, he's very good.
I think Brock is the most legit guy they have in that federation.
I agree.
My boy Wayne May checked in, and this was a shocker to me because I like the work, but I have to agree he didn't get anywhere until he started cussing. He put in Shane Douglas as one of the most overrated wrestlers I've ever seen. Never understood what the fuss was over him. That's what Wayne May says.
Wow. I always liked Shane. I don't know.
Yeah, I always liked the franchise myself.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say he was one of the greatest workers of all time, but I think he always put in great matches and cut great promos, and of course he's synonymous for throwing down the NWA championship. So
right.
I have no problem with the franchise.
Whoa, John Morris II, scream this one. Ivan Putski.
Before my time, I really can't comment.
Well, this one here is your time though, because Harry Barnett you just earned a like on my. I'm going to put a like on you right now. He put CM Punk.
You know, I always liked CM Punk in Ring of Honor, but the WWE stuff, once they gave him the ball and ran with him, he got very tired to me. And maybe the problem is staying relevant and staying interesting on three-hour shows and doing SmackDown and pay-per-views, etc. But, I mean, sitting here today talking to you, I'm not a big CM Punk fan, so.
I've never been.
I know you've never been, so there you go. But, I mean, go back and watch some of his ROH stuff. Really good stuff, I will say that.
Richard Saint H, he put in Jeff Hardy.
Well, he's a spot guy. I mean, if you're looking for in-ring technicians, you wouldn't put Jeff Hardy in there.
Right, he put him there. Cassidy Ash, she also put CM Punk. And here's what she said. I wrote, after she posted that, I said, I'm glad someone thinks CM Punk sucks like I do. She wrote back and said, I most definitely do. Can't see how people go crazy over him. He's not that good. Anything he does, I've seen someone else do it better. He wasn't original in the so-called pipe bomb promos. Plus, I have very little respect for someone who can't fulfill their contract obligations to the fans and just walks up. And someone who constantly complains slash part-timers are getting his spot, yet never stepped up his game to take that spot. I absolutely don't like him and have no desire for him to ever come back.
Wow. Okay.
And once again, Cassidy Ash, you said it all.
Yeah, remember, Cassidy Ash is a huge Owen Hart fan.
Right.
And she actually did some SmackDown recaps for us on the Gerwick.net website. So, and if she's out there listening, if you want to come back and do the SmackDown recaps as well in the future, by all means.
Yeah. We're going to get into one more thread here. and this was a big one here because this one you know brought out a lot of people to say a lot of things, and this one was very interesting here, and this is one that got me thinking, and it's something that we actually have talked about, you and I, you know, privately texting. Did WCW make any other stars other than Goldberg? And you know what my answer is going to be? I would say, you know, and I start off by saying Diamond Dallas Page.
And Frank should start off by saying he's a huge WCW fan.
I'm a huge WCW guy. But check this out. Alfred Guzman checked in with Johnny B. Badd. He also checked in with Dustin Rhodes. And then,
okay. I mean, obviously Dustin Rhodes was a bigger star as Goldust, but yeah,
right. But
definitely started as Dustin Rhodes. Yeah,
but we're talking about guys that were made elsewhere that took those credentials and became bigger in the WWE. So, pretty much, I put these guys. I put Malenko, Benoit, Guerrero, and Satter. And the reason why I suggested those is because they got their exposure in the WCW, where they became bigger names than they were in ECW. Darren Humbert.
Well, bigger names because they were on bigger stages, though.
That's right. But I didn't know anything about Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko back in 1995, ECW.
Well, that's your fault, Frank. You should have got the magazines.
Well, hey, listen. Listen, I was, what, 11 years old. The only magazine I knew was a WWF magazine.
You can't say WCW made Eddie Guerrero.
I can say that, Steve, because it's
no,
the truth.
I can't.
It's
no,
the
I
truth.
Can't.
Nobody gave a crap about Eddie Guerrero. Those four or five people that watched ECW in Frank Retiree said that watched ECW back in the day. I mean, come on, really? Nobody was watching ECW back in the day like that.
I mean,
WCW was a bigger stage.
They gave Malenko and Eddie Guerrero almost a whole episode of their show, and fans were cheering for them not to leave.
Yeah, those fans at the Beagle Hall. That's what my point is. Nobody saw that. I didn't see it until WWE released it on the DVD.
Well, just because nobody saw it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, it happened, see, but nobody gave a damn about these guys until they got to WCW. And then they started winning Cruiserweight titles. And then, you know, Guerrero was wrestling with DDP for the Battle Bowl ring. And then the LWO. And then Chris Benoit is becoming a member of the Horsemen. This stuff was happening in ECW.
I would say they were established. I would argue with those. I would say they were established in ECW. I mean, Eddie Guerrero came from Mexico.
Right, Eddie Guerrero came from Mexico. But Eddie Guerrero didn't become a household name until he got to WCW.
I mean, really, you could even say ECW didn't make Eddie Guerrero. ECW really didn't make Rey Mysterio. I mean, yeah, it gave him the American stage to showcase his talent.
That's right.
I mean, those guys were big stars in Mexico.
Yeah, but that's not the United States.
Okay, then ECW is.
Come on, Steve, you know me. I'm the one who went up here head-to-head with Vince Russo about that. But my point is that they didn't have the exposure that the WCW did or the WWF.
Okay, when I think of when we're talking about making a star,
right?
I think of a guy that trained, maybe did independence. You brought him in, now you make him a star. I mean, we talk about all the stars that WWE went through the developmental system that really were nobodies until they got to WWE. You can't say that about Dean Malenko. You can't say that about Eddie Guerrero.
Well,
I mean, I
can say something about Eddie Guerrero, though. That whole lie, cheat, and steal, and all that. Where did you think he came up with that from?
Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho were big stars in Japan.
Okay, but my question, though, real quick, was about Guerrero. That whole lie, cheat, and steal. Where did that first come from?
I don't know. Where did it come from?
Came from WCW. He had it in WCW. He had it on a T-shirt that he's come out with when he was doing it in Diego with Chavo.
Well, I will say, I know, and God rest his soul, but I don't think Eddie Guerrero would say WCW made him.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't for WCW, I'll say it like this. To sum that up, and I'm going to move on to the other comments here. If it wasn't for WCW, when the Radicals appeared on Raw, nobody would give a damn. That's the bottom line. Just like nobody would give a damn when Chris Jericho debuted on Raw either, because nobody would have known who he was. It had not been for Eric Bischoff's WCW Monday Nitro.
I mean, really, you could even say DDP was an AWA.
Yeah, but nobody, see, the thing about this, nobody gave a crap about DDP until he feuded with Savage.
But, I mean, he was a good manager in the AWA. He cut his teeth there.
Yeah, this is a whole other different debate for a whole other podcast. But
I'll give you Dustin Rhodes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Okay. But you will say, wouldn't you say Dustin Rhodes is a bigger star in WWF?
I'll say he became a bigger star in WWF as Goldust. But
yeah,
he was cutting his teeth in WCW with matches against Sonny Steve Austin.
Okay, I'll grant you that.
So
I mean, like these people will say Harlem Heat. I mean, Harlem Heat came from Global.
Harlem Heat came from Global, but they became bigger stars in WCW. WCW made Booker T.
True. Made Booker T. How many stars did the WCW Power Plant create?
Let's see. They created that fat bastard Paul White. Although Paul Orndorff said, you know, he would never be nothing. That's what he said.
The sad thing, that might be their crowning achievement other than Goldberg, was Paul White.
Well, Paul White and DDP. DDP was always in that Power Plant.
Okay.
Let's see. I also put Steve Austin, Mick Foley, Ron Simmons, Brian Pillman.
So Eric Bischoff made Steve Austin.
I didn't say Eric Bischoff. Austin was there before Bischoff took control.
So WCW made Steve Austin.
WCW made, listen, Austin started off where Austin started off in the Dallas Auditorium, right? He started off with he started off there with World Class. Then Austin went to WCW as Sonny Steve. Okay, he went there as Sonny Steve. He stayed there for years. He was him and Brian Pillman were the Hollywood Blondes, you know, one of the biggest statues of all time. And then they went on to different things, but they had to cut their teeth together at WCW.
Okay, they gave him a push, but they didn't make him stars.
Well, it's funny because, they gave him the push. See, my thing is this. You have to acknowledge what somebody did at WCW because that's how they would have got that jump start to Vince McMahon noticing them to bring him to the WWF. Vince McMahon will tell you, I saw this guy at WCW. Just like Johnny B. Mad, he wanted Mark Merrow because he saw the character in WCW. Then he found out when he got Merrow, damn it. They hold the
but I mean, you look at Steve Austin. I mean, I was just talking to Bobby Eaton, and he saw the potential in him. Paul Heyman saw the potential of him, and here he is at WCW. You're fired. Okay.
Well, but even Austin, but Austin says, but even Stone Cold Steve Austin says, if he was Eric Bischoff, he would have fired him too. So if somebody says that, how can you go back and say, well, you're fired? Even Austin himself said he would have done it.
Okay.
You know, that's just all I'm saying. Let's see here. The Steiner Brothers. That's what Darren Humbert said, the Steiner Brothers. I also put in Tuco Scorpio. Alfred Gunsman checked in with Rap Master PN News. Remember that guy?
Wait a minute.
I would necessarily call him a star.
Well, what did they make for him then? He's a nothing.
Oh, he was a huge star back in the day. See, he was big. Dude was fat.
Made the Steiner Brothers.
Right.
Okay.
You don't think they made the Steiner Brothers?
They made the Steiner Brothers?
You would think so. I mean, where did you see the Steiner Brothers before that?
Weren't they in Japan before that?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember now. That's interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. We also have let's get the context here. A lot of these people are people that pass through WCW. And the reason why we say did WCW produce any stars? Yes, they produced them to basically slingshot them to the WWE. That's what it was.
You know, the Steiners were in ECW.
Yeah, for a cup of coffee.
So
we're going to say that Paul Heyman made the Steiners?
I wouldn't say that, no.
Right, I know you wouldn't say it, because I'm going to have to stop you.
No, I wouldn't say that, no.
So, John Hugger, he put Jericho, he put Mysterio, he put Johnny the Bull, he put Shane Helms, he put Eddie Guerrero, he put Chris Benoit, he put Three Count. You got a lot there.
You know who John Hugger really is?
Who's that?
Johnny the Bull.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right? How about that? I did not know that.
Interesting perspective. Yeah, we've got a lot of people from the business on our discussion group.
Well, Johnny the Bull. I have to tell you, another one that was slingshots in the WWE. He was a part of the FBI with Palumbo and Nunzio.
Yeah.
Yep. Like I said, Shane Helms, right? Hurricane, Sugar Shane Helms.
Yeah, you can say that one.
Yeah. Let's see.
Can't say Omega on him.
Right. Sean O'Hare.
Oh, it's too bad on Sean O'Hare.
Too bad on Sean O'Hare, but you're right. O'Hare got his start at WCW.
Sure had a lot of potential.
Sure did. He had a lot of potential.
Wow.
Here's one that Darren Humbert brought up, and he said that a lot of people probably don't remember this guy. Remember Van Hammer?
Oh, he was terrible.
He was terrible.
I don't think you want to claim him.
Here's another one. Peter Cisco put Glacier.
He sucked.
He did suck.
Why would you claim these guys are stars?
They're huge stars.
How can you claim some? They made stars when these guys never amounted to anything.
Hey,
Glacier was one of the worst gimmicks I think they ever came up with.
Glacier was something that should have been done in '95 during the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what, because they brought Glacier in after the NWO. You know, he came in I think about 2 months after NWO had formed. So, yeah, people look at that like, yeah.
Or the Maestro or some of the other gimmicks they come up with.
Right. Scott Ross brought up a huge star from WWC, Kleewe.
Okay.
And that's,
you want to claim? You guys want to claim him?
Hey, listen. What
Alan Funk? Come on now.
You guys here. You ribbing on us WCW fans out there?
Hey, I'll give him credit where credit's due, but do you really want to claim him?
I don't know. I probably saw that Rainbow Express and TNA. I don't know, man.
Lenny and Lodi, then.
Yeah, I guess.
You want to claim that one, too? I don't know.
I don't reclaim anything. Well, that was,
Billy Kidman?
So, I mean, Billy Kidman, they made Billy Kidman.
Sick Boy was good for a time.
But here's one that's funny. Somebody actually also said, I think it was, as a matter of fact, it was Travis, who said that WCW actually made Hollywood Hogan.
He made Hollywood Hogan.
Right.
I mean, like,
here's the character, but
still Hulk Hogan.
Still Hulk Hogan, but it was a completely different character.
Yeah.
Well. It was not. That I have to give him that one. That was a completely different character. Hulk Hogan was already established in the late 70s.
Was he?
I think he was. Yeah. he's damn old. But my point is that he was already established with Blassie, and then he was already established in the AWA, and then he came over to Vince and we all know the story. So he was already established there, but there was no establishment for Hollywood Hogan.
Well, I mean, if you make that argument, you could say, well, Scott Hall was a different character than Razor Ramon. You could say Kevin Nash was different. Well, I mean, then you could name anybody as they made stars, then.
Well, yeah. So I think we're both.
You can't be the same character in the other company, so.
Well, I think we're both in agreement here. I think we're in agreement here, though, that WCW produced a lot of stars that went on to bigger things than the WWE. Simply, okay, let me put it like this, all right? Put it like this.
Oh, let me put it like this.
WWE exposure to wrestlers that went on to be bigger wrestlers than WWF. Is that fair enough?
That's fair. I was going to say, if we sat here and said they made a ton of stars, they still should be in business then.
No, it was doomed to go out. We actually brought that up on, and I'll get to that next time when we do our next podcast about who killed WCW, because people still comment on that thread. But I, like I said the other day in the thread, WCW was going to go out of business anyways.
Thanks to mismanagement.
Thanks to mismanagement. You're right there, Steve. You did not run WCW properly. You killed it.
I mean, a company that had Vince McMahon almost beat lost.
I mean, who's to say who killed it? Though? Was it mismanagement? Was it the internet that killed WCW?
Well, I don't think you can blame one singular person, but somebody was still in charge.
Who?
So, you know, when a company does well, the president takes the glory, and when the company doesn't do well, who gets the blame?
Right.
The people in charge. So, I mean, end of the day, Bischoff was the guy, you know?
You give him credit for
what he did positively, but there's also a negative side to that as well.
Yeah, but in fairness, you know, Bischoff relinquished, you know, what did he say? Harvey Schiller removed him. And then they brought in other people to run the company, like, you know, what was his name? Bill Bush.
Yeah.
All these guys.
They had to try something different. They were going down fast.
Right. That's why I said it was doomed to go out of business.
The ship was sinking.
It was going to go out of business anyways. I really believe that. I really believe that it doesn't matter if AOL came in or not to do it. It still probably would have went out of business.
That's why people want to blame Vince Russo. And I mean, the ship was sinking.
The ship was sunk before Russo even got there.
Oh, yeah, it was going down. I mean, I think in the final equation, you can't say he really helped WCW, but people who want to say that he took down WCW and TNA, you're just delusional.
Right. Especially
those companies were both going down. I mean, I can't say overall he really helped either company. I mean, you can definitely point to characters and storylines that were effective and good, but. I mean, to blame Vince Russo for those two companies failing, I think you better go back and check your history on those two.
Yeah.
Go back and watch. Yeah, where's the death? Where's the rise and fall of WCW?
Yeah.
You know, I just saw the rise and fall of ECW. Where's the rise and fall of WCW?
I'm pretty sure they'll be coming up with a WCW week very shortly.
Yeah. I will say, you know, they do give a lot of love to ECW. And maybe it's because WCW was on the verge of putting them out of business, but obviously Vince had a relationship with ECW back in the day. But yeah, when we got Fred Ricciani on here saying, as you always say, they got what, 95, 96 Nitros?
Right.
Where's the rest of them? So we're watching the Monday Night Wars series, and they could say, here it is in July, whatever, 1997. Go watch this episode after we're done. Or this will air right after we air this episode. Where is it?
Oh, here, Steve. We have some breaking news.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Impact Wrestling TNA has just announced that they will be heading to Destination America. All right. The official press release. the official release.
I'm sorry, what?
The official press release says Discovery Communications acquires exclusive broadcast rights to Top Professional Wrestling League.
Top?
Yeah. Discovery Communications announced today that it has signed a multi-year deal with TNA, Total Nonstop Action, Impact Wrestling to bring the popular league to homes nationwide on Destination America, the only network dedicated to celebrating the people, places, and stories of the United States. Destination America officially enters the ring with its first world premiere of Impact Wrestling in January 2015. The series features some of the biggest names in professional wrestling, including Jeff Hardy, Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle, Bobby Lashley, and Gail Kim. The partnership includes the U.S. premieres of additional TNA wrestling series and specials and provides Discovery Communications with international broadcasting rights in select regions to be announced at a later date.
Woo! Boy, that's incredible. Top wrestling league with top wrestling talent.
Right.
I can hardly wait. You know, I don't have cable, so I can't. Is it on DirecTV? Is it on?
I don't have it on.
On Dish?
I don't believe that we have it here on Charter. So, sorry, Dixie.
What was we were talking offline with Fred Ricciani? Didn't you say they have like maximum 400,000 viewers or something like that?
One of their shows was
yeah. One of them.
I don't know. I had it when I had DirecTV. I had Destination. No, wait. I'm sorry. That was Dish. When I had Dish, I had Destination America. They played a lot of barbecue shows on there, Steve.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they played Barbecue Pitmasters on there. And, you know, something about I Love Bacon or something like that. So they TNA is like, woo, telling you.
Well, maybe they can cross over with Jim Ross then. He likes to do that stuff, too.
Yeah. Good old JR loves that barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Buy my barbecue sauce.
Barbecue.
Oh, man, end of the podcast, breaking news. We finally know the future of TNA, and it looks so exciting.
All right.
Incredible.
Yeah. totally agree.
I guess it's better than dying, I guess.
Hey.
Going dark.
You know what?
I guess.
I can't judge this until I see it.
Well, you won't see it. That's the problem.
Somebody will leak it online.
If you don't have access to the channel, you can't see it.
Well, Steve, we can find anything online.
I don't know. A lot of those Impact Wrestlings I could never find online.
You weren't looking in the right place, buddy.
I guess not.
You have to go on YouTube. Somebody's always out there doing it. I've been seeing a lot. It's funny because I've been seeing a lot of the network's content showing up on YouTube lately, too.
A lot of times I would see clips of Impact Wrestling. I never saw the whole episode online.
Yeah.
Unless it was from the UK or somebody put it up, but
yeah. Speaking of which, here it's kind of funny because before we head out, I actually got it's funny. You know, people are hitting me up here on Facebook. Matter of fact, and my man here, Wayne May, asked a question here, and we both can answer this one. Did we subscribe to the WWE 24/7 on demand service back in the day? And if so, what are your thoughts compared to the WWE Network when it comes to the content? Now, what do you say about that?
Well, I never got it.
Okay.
I never subscribed.
Okay. I never subscribed to it, but I saw content. I used to have a dude that I knew that used to send me tapes of some of the stuff that was going on. And I have to say that it's a very drastic difference in the content. I would say Classics On Demand gave you more content than what you get right now. You would have the Monday Night War would actually be showing you back-to-back episodes of Raw and Nitro. See, the last time I checked it, Nitro was in 1998 on Classics On Demand before they canceled the service. So I mind you, we were talking a little bit earlier on the other podcast we did today about Nitro being stuck in 96. Well, they were in 98 on there, including 98 Raws. So that's where it was. They would have the buckets would have pay-per-views. Now, I will say that it's great to have all the pay-per-views at one time, but they would have buckets of pay-per-views called the big ones, where they would show a pay-per-view for that month. They would show probably three of them from maybe they'll show you one from AWA, and then they'll show you one from WWE, and they'll show you one from WCWR, one from ECW. That's how it would go. So they have that. They would have Hall of Fame month, where they would take one, you know, Hall of Fame wrestler, and they would put his matches on there throughout the month. They would have theme months on there. Like October would be nothing but Halloween would be scariest superstars ever. So they'll show you Halloween Havoc. They'll show you a lot of Undertaker stuff, a lot of Kane stuff. It was much, in my opinion, much better run service over there than what it is right now. And I used to actually subscribe back in the day on online on WWE.com. If you remember, I used to tell you that $3.99 that they used to have back in the day, where
right.
It was WWE Classics online. So they would have so much content on there too. We're talking about WWE Saturday Night. Hell, man, they started airing WWE Saturday Night from 1995. They were airing all those shows. They were airing they started airing WWF Wrestling Challenge. From back in the day, they aired the first episode all the way to when they closed that service down. So it's a lot of content that WWE Network should have and they don't have. So if I'm putting down to it, I would say I like what I saw with the Classics On Demand on the line and what I saw when my friend was sending tapes than what I'm seeing on the network.
So it looks like if you have satellite television, you might get Destination America.
Right.
It's on DirecTV. It's on Dish.
Right. But it's not cable companies.
And not on very many of the cable companies.
Right.
So Comcast, Charter, doesn't look like it's on there.
Nope. But
it's on, on Verizon.
Yeah, it's not in the area, and I know it's not here because I've looked for it. Because like I said, man, I used to like to watch Barbecue Pitmasters. We don't have it.
It's on AT&T UVerse. It's on some of the bigger networks or carriers, but there's a lot of audience they're going to lose when they change networks here.
Yeah, that's too bad. So they're going to have to start putting their show on probably online somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. That you just can't go on a much smaller station and survive. You know, once we get the details on what the TV contract dictates in terms of pay, I don't know, did it say they're going to be on Wednesday nights, or did it say in the press release?
Let me bring the press release back up real quick. No, actually, it didn't say anything about that.
Okay, so we'll have to see, you know, when they're going to put it on. Is it going to be 2 hours still? You assume so? I don't know.
Yeah, we shall see.
A lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
You got my initial reaction.
Yeah, I think it's the reaction of the damn year.
It's probably, of all the worst case scenarios, this is probably it.
Yeah.
Other than just going to internet only, because the visibility is just not there, and they're going to really miss Spike TV. They bent over backwards for this company. They paid for talent. They changed nights. They reimbursed them for production. They're in for a rude awakening, I think, when they change networks here.
We shall see.
We definitely shall see. Well, that's our show for today. We appreciate everybody responding on our Facebook group. As we said, you can follow us there at Gerwick Report on our Facebook page. We're also on Twitter at Gerwick Report. I also just recently added an Instagram as well. At Steve Gerwick. So if you want to follow us there, you can see a lot of the pictures that promote our podcast and graphics as well. You can always like us on Facebook. And, of course, you can listen to us on various platforms, including Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, etc. Download our podcast on iTunes and email me at GerwickReport@Gerwick.net. And, Frank D., plug your social media there.
Yeah, you can follow Frank D on Real on Twitter at RealFrankDEE. Also, a lot of people have been hitting me up on Facebook lately. So, yeah, if you can find me, I ain't going to put it out there. But if you can find me on Facebook, you can go ahead and send me a friend request on there. And I'm usually cool about, you know, putting people on. And also, you can email me directly, too, at GerwickReport@gmail.com. And stay tuned for more updates on the YouTube channel and you know, some exciting threads to come on our social media platforms. It's very, very exciting right now.
Yeah, subscribe to our YouTube page as well.
Yep.
Because Frank always turns around and takes our content and puts it on YouTube as well. So
exactly.
If you enjoy us here, you know, listening to us, you can also check us out on YouTube as well. So.
Yeah, we just added the other day. As a matter of fact, before we go, I just added the Body Center podcast to our YouTube channel as well. So you can enjoy their latest episode with Atlee Green. And, you know, give it a listen. If you like the videos, push that like and subscribe.
Absolutely. So we always appreciate the support. Looking forward to the next edition of the GRP.